Hello, Rivalry Week. BYU in Utah with emotions already running high. We'll react to some of the best sound from Kalani Sitake, Kyle Whittingham, and more. Former BYU and NFL wide receiver Austin Colley details what the BYU-Utah game means to him, plus what does he make of BYU being a home underdog.
Offensive lineman Kyle Safarchuk breaks down recovering the fumble against Arizona to keep BYU's game-tying drive alive, plus his thoughts on the game against the Utes. And Top 5 Tuesday features BYU's top plays all time against Utah. Does Will Farron's game winner make the list?
That's how good the list is. We have to ask that question. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Tuesday, October 14th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who knows a good piece of pizza when he tastes it, Jerem Jordan.
Yeah, pizza is one of the great Italian exports of all time, perhaps the greatest. I mean, there's art, culture, Renaissance, ideas.
Forget all that pizza.
All that stuff, democracy. Good pizza is good pizza. So Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports is going to be in town, I assume, with everything going on with Big Noon Kickoff and so on and so forth. So he's going to try out some pizza in Provo. So where do we send him? My vote is Nico's Pizza. Mm. That is my favorite pizza spot in Provo. What is yours?
Yeah, if we're talking strictly Provo, and it has to be within the city limits where the university is located, I don't know how his rules apply, if it applies to Utah County.
What about Utah County? Just give me Utah County.
Then I would throw in Lucy's in Orem as well.
I've never been.
But if it's Provo, I'm with you. We got to go with our guy, Nico's. Yeah. And Dave Portnoy loves that thin crust pizza. Nico's does that right. Yeah. So I wonder what the rules are there. Like, does it apply to the county?
Well,
does
that there's some controversy there with the pie. If you recall, a couple weeks ago.
Thinnest crust I've ever seen there.
I do love the pie, though. I've been a bunch
good,
up there.
Good pizza. All right. Interested to see how the pizza rating goes. And if it's in Provo, Orem, or Utah County, or wherever it is.
It's hard to mess up pizza. I mean, come on.
You'd be surprised. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
BYU-Utah week already, Spence. Let's go.
The Utes and Cougars. Everybody in this rivalry wanted more national attention. Well, you got it.
It's going to be a great game. I'm looking forward to the preparation that we get to have today and this week, because I think it's going to make our team even better.
Oh, the rivalry is here. BYU and Utah. And as we mentioned off the top of the show, emotions on this Tuesday, already running high for both fan bases. We'll get to specifics on that in just a moment. Number 15, BYU, 6-0. They've been a favorite in all six games to start the season, according to oddsmakers. Well, this week, BYU, while home, is an underdog to number 23, Utah. But wait a second, Spencer, BYU's ranked, but throw all of that out the window. They're not looking at AP poll rankings to determine who is the favorite here.
They're looking at pizza ratings.
And a lot more than that. So, Jerem, why do you think BYU is a 3.5-point home underdog to number 23 Utah?
This actually makes sense to me. Utah is always an offense away from being really good. That defense is always awesome. They're top 10 in the following: success rate, rush success rate, passing success rate, number one in third downs in the country at 60%. Top 25 in EPA, quality drive ratio, yards per game, points per game, rush yards per game, third in red zone touchdowns.
Well, that's a lot going on there.
Jason Beck is our boy, and he's doing great work up there, and I hate it. I can't stand it. Because Utah has an offense, and that's trouble. Simply put, their offense is really good. They've been blowing out people. They've scored 40-plus in 4 of 6. Notably, BYU hasn't scored 40-plus against an FBS team yet. BYU has a more deliberate, different kind of offense. Both are effective in their own way. After the Texas Tech loss, Utah stopped trying to stretch the field horizontally, and they just got downhill a little more in the pass and run game. That old line's really good with Caleb Lomu and Spencer Fano. Ryan Davis and Hunter Andrews are good receivers. Andrews somehow has 113 rush yards as a tight end. That defense, top 25 and a bunch of stuff too. To me, this makes sense. BYU, if they had played Texas Tech, probably would have a loss too. BYU 6-0 because they haven't played a team of that ilk, or Utah's ilk, frankly, quite yet. Now the major test begins. We talked about how the ramp up starts against Arizona. BYU did a nice job of coming back down 10 with 11 minutes to go, technically 4-ish minutes to go. Now we see how good BYU is. They're going to have Utah at Iowa State, break, at Texas Tech. Like, this is a defining moment. And so this actually makes sense to me. Despite how good BYU is at home, despite how good BYU is at night, Utah's the favorite. That doesn't mean Utah's going to win the game. It just means they start out as the favorite.
That's the beauty of sport. It's only one game. This isn't a best of three or a best of five, like baseball, best of seven.
Go Mariners. 2-0.
It's one game. So let me add the following three or four numbers to everything you brought up. And this is the stat that probably shocked me the most. Utah's converted 28 of their last 29 red zone trips. 25 of those have been for touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's the number three touchdown rate in the country.
Yes.
86%.
That's amazing.
Compare that to last year when they were under 50%. They could not score touchdowns last year.
Spence, they didn't score 28 against a Power 4 team last year.
They couldn't score touchdowns last year. 25 of 29 total red zone trips have resulted in touchdowns. They're incredibly efficient on offense. They work at a very fast pace, and they're good in the trenches. You mentioned their offensive line.
They're great on the line.
According to our good buddy Cam Meller and the Pro Football Sports Network college version, they have the highest graded offensive line in the entire country right now. Number one in the country, ahead of Arkansas and Texas A&M.
Look at that first one.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that.
The pressure rates.
Well, I hate that first one.
It's both sides, though.
Yes.
So one, they are not allowing pressure on Devin Dampier, and then their defensive line, inversely, is getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
One that got away, John Henry Daly, David Nixon's nephew.
One of the top sack leaders in the country.
Number three in the country.
Yeah. I think he's one behind the nation's leader. He has eight, right?
He has, he's 1.3 a game. He has eight.
Eight sacks.
Eight and a half would be Mr. What? David Bailey of Texas Tech, I think, who's pretty good.
I'm telling you, they're good in the trenches on both sides. They're getting pressure on quarterbacks. They're not allowing pressure on Devin Dampier. And when they're in the red zone, they're scoring a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah, this is enough positive Utah talk.
So why is Utah a favorite in Pro Bowl?
This is why.
Yeah. This is why right here.
Yeah, and it irks me because last year that defense was still good, but their offense was terrible. And so they went 5-7. And now they got an offense because they got a former Coug. And BYU has a defense called by a former Ute. And that's just how this works in this rivalry. You swap sides and you do this and that, and it kind of makes sense to me. In fact, yesterday, we got sound from both teams, and they talked about the rivalry, what it means, the significance, the emotions of it. Here's Kalani Sitake, Jay Hill, and Kyle Whittingham on BYU versus Utah.
There's obviously a lot of connections between BYU and Utah, and so that'll be another fun part of it. But that's no different than what you see in a household here in the state, and there'll be people cheering for their team, and that's what makes the rivalry so much fun. It makes it, like I said before, I've said this last year, that it makes a lot of sense. We're in the Big 12 together. It just makes sense that we should be in the same conference, and we should do this every year.
Yeah, I think it's always been intense, for sure, and conference implications certainly add to it. Just on a national scene, it's one of the better rivalries in the country, in my opinion.
This is my favorite week of the year. I couldn't sleep last night, just so excited about the week and what it represents for the fans and how big of an impact this game has had in me and my career and my family, and just how much I love this game, having been on both sides of it. I think it's super fun, super exciting, and we got a really good football team coming in here.
You're one of a number.
Okay, what do you make of how both sides commented on BYU-Utah? We'll get to the more popular quote from yesterday.
Yes, in just a moment. The coy smile of Jay Hill is always fun, right?
When he smiles about an opponent, watch out. Because he did that to you for the game against Colorado.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's going to be that result, but.
What does he have dialed up for this game?
Hopefully it's a person named Jack Kelly.
Exotic fronts on the defense, and yes. What does he have personnel-wise to work with? I think that Jack Kelly will play. I'd be shocked if he doesn't. I really do.
I'm going to say my strongest take of the entire week. If Jack Kelly doesn't play, I think it really hurts BYU's chances to win this game.
Like, absolutely.
Just because I think he's going to spy Devin Dampier a lot. I think he's going to sit and be the guy that's responsible for him to not get downfield.
Well, Raider DeMooney is another key factor in
absolutely.
This. What is his status?
Right.
So if he can't play, then that also hurts Jay Hill's defense. But I love the smile. It's a genuine smile from him.
Yeah.
And he does have a unique perspective. Kalani
nice
does.
Nice use of the word genuine.
Yes.
Because there are sometimes people say things that are disingenuous.
And I understand that, look, Kyle Whittingham is going to be more understated. And we'll talk about some more of his comments, like you said, in just a moment. Kalani is more expressive in general and just the way that he articulates things on the rivalry. And Jay...
appreciation of the other school, for example.
Yeah.
Kyle refuses to acknowledge BYU. He just does. That's just how
it's part. He's old school. He's old school. And a lot of people hate it. But he is
that resonates less and less with 18-year-olds as time goes on, by the way.
Fair.
They recruit well. I'm not saying they don't recruit well. I'm just saying it's two different flavors.
Fair. Yeah,
for sure.
He's... listen, and maybe I should save this, but I'm just going to go there now.
Go there now.
He's been... He, I mean Kyle Whittingham, has been sitting on 4 years of loss to BYU. I know it's only been two games,
yes,
but it's been...
2 and 4 years.
It's been 4 years.
They haven't won since 2019, so
since
against BYU.
Yeah, his team lost the win streak against BYU, and they haven't beaten BYU since 2019. To me, it makes sense why he's probably seems even more business this week.
And this is the end. Like, this could be the last season for him.
It could be. It could be.
We thought last season probably was. It was close. Speaking of, someone asked Kyle Whittingham about Baron Bachmeier, and Kyle was not having it.
What have you seen from BYU quarterback Baron Bachmeier?
I'm just going to focus on us this week, our guys, our coaches. So I'm not going to give much thought on the opponent this week. And so, really, you have to ask them, you know, what they think of Baron. So.
He said his name.
So he knows his name. That's cool.
He did say Bear because previously there was a time when he would not say the name of an opposing player from BYU's team.
Like it's very calculated from Kyle and he doesn't want to
say
didn't
even let him finish the question.
Right.
Just like, nope. Not going there.
And he made fun of Patrick Kinahan earlier in the press conference, or later, I can't remember, who went to Arizona State. And he said, go ahead, Sparky. And then Patrick Kinahan said, do you want me to bring up your alma mater? Which was well played by PK. This is all calculated, part of the rivalry. Kyle's been, you know, he doesn't want to acknowledge BYU. Like, he just doesn't really want
he's
to do
irritated,
it.
He's irritated, as he should be. He's bothered.
Well, even during the nine-game win streak, he wouldn't. Like, remember that video at Pac-12 Media Days? Say something nice about your rival. And he's like, which rival? USC or what? Oh, the in-state game. You know, that's all calculated and part of this, and it's fun and it's different, you know, like... He doesn't speak lovingly about his time at BYU, even though we know that he had a great time here in the 80s when he was the WAC Defensive Player of the Year in 81 and so on and so forth. Jay Hill, on the other hand, and Kalani acknowledged that, hey, they love – Jay Hill literally said on Coordinator's Corner, I love the University of Utah and what it meant to me, my education, what I learned with football, the coaches and everything. Kyle was great. Like, it's just two flavors, different flavors. Sometimes you like that flavor, sometimes you don't like that.
And ask Utah assistants how they feel about BYU.
Yeah,
Jason Beck loves BYU. Mike Simon loves BYU.
I saw Coy Detmer Jr. at a Utah Mammoth game recently, and I was like, how is it, man, up there? He's like, I love it, dude. And I said, I hate that you love it, but I get it. You know, like, there's so much crossover. Like, it's fun. It's part of it. It's okay. You know, initially when I hear that, I'm kind of bugged because last week he spoke about Sam Levitt, but he wouldn't comment on whatever. It's okay. It's all good, dude. I'm not that bugged about it.
Yeah, I'm not. I initially was like, I kind of laughed. I thought, oh, that's funny. But I think I'm more inclined to just believe this is part of his mental preparation,
like,
of how he, like, dials in.
It's like a shtick at this point to me, too.
Like I'm not going to pay them attention.
Exactly. Yeah. Or respect verbally in any way, shape, or form, it feels like.
We're going to focus on this. We have not beaten them, speaking of Utah, since 2019. Like, that's annoying for him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Super annoying.
Someone brought up last week before the ASU game, hey, you know, what would it mean to, since you haven't won a Big 12 home game? He goes, we haven't? What's the record? 0-5. He goes, that stinks. You know?
Well, that'll be a point of emphasis.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Although I think he may have known that, but, like, the fact that it's being brought up to him.
Oh, he knew it.
Yeah.
How do you not?
He's annoyed. And I get it.
And I'm okay with this. What I'm not okay with, though, is after the game last year, he cut the handshake short with Kalani to complain to the refs. Those guys go way back. They should have had a longer kind of conversation there. Instead, it was about complaining to the refs. To me, that bothered me. Mm. And obviously, the unprofessional and then fined comments of Mark Harlan. One, walking on the field, killing his team's chances of an epic return. And then what he did at the press conference, to me, that's different. Like, these comments are just like part of the rivalry and some gamesmanship. But those, it's like, now, come on, show some respect.
Now, that was very different.
Yeah.
And that was last season, something that Kyle Whittingham called the Twilight Zone for his team. So things are different there now. And he's annoyed that he hasn't coached a team that's beaten BYU since 2019, which I understand. Like, you want to beat your rival.
And this is a massive game for a million reasons. They could both be 0-6 and it would be a massive game. But they're not. They're quite the opposite, 11-1 combined.
Our question of the day, what does the BYU-Utah rivalry mean to all of you? At Jonathan Hawk on X says, the rivalry means I will either be happy for the next year around my neighbors that are Utah fans if BYU wins, or sad and annoyed if Utah wins, as my neighbors will remind me of the outcome on a regular basis.
That's part of the fun. We just all live around each other. And there are two houses in my neighborhood that have flags out. One is Utah, one is BYU. They're right next to each other.
Of course they are.
Of course they are.
That's how it goes.
I'm in a very BYU neighborhood. But, you know, you got to rep. You got to rep your team. I respect it.
Cole Smith underscore 14 answers on Instagram and says, I haven't worn red since I was less than 10 years old. I just can't do it. Max Hall was right.
Max Hall was right.
Weigh in on X.
I love this game.
Like, Facebook and Instagram.
My first home BYU football game was 95 BYU Utah. I lived outside the state. My first BYU football game was BYU UCLA, Detmer senior year in 91. But BYU Utah, I mean, it's just special. To me, it's the peak sports contest in the state that includes all the professional teams every year. It's unbelievable. I love that we're in the same league. I love that we're playing. I love the strong feelings that we all have. It's fun. Let's compete.
Both ranked, competing for a conference championship in a Power Four conference.
It's going to be great. Obviously, there's like a means of excessive stuff that we don't need. But like, let's have fun and compete and root for our teams and let's go. It's going to be great.
All right. Timeout on football for just a moment.
Men's hoops, as we mentioned yesterday, ranked number 8 in the preseason AP poll, the highest preseason rank in BYU program history. What does this mean?
I keep seeing the phrase blue blood from BYU fans in reference to the AP preseason poll. I'm not ready to go there.
Wait, blue blood in what?
Blue blood program.
Like BYU's a blue blood?
A blue blood
program. No, BYU's not. Sorry.
You got to win a national championship.
Well, like Houston's not a blue. No. A blue blood extends to way in the past. No.
That
will take 30 or 40 years. Maybe Gonzaga's not a blue blood.
Maybe multiple national championships.
We're talking about UNC, Duke,
UCLA.
Kentucky, Kansas. Yes, those are the blue bloods. Sorry, no.
It's fun to see BYU up with many of those blue bloods.
There you go.
In the preseason rankings.
Yes. Yes.
What does it mean? It means that BYU has an incredible head start on doing something historic this season. It means that if BYU can put together a run, Jerem, early in non-conference play with how difficult the schedule is and how many name brand opponents are on said schedule, that if they get rolling, BYU could legitimately be a top three team in the first month of the season.
Absolutely.
That's what it means.
Absolutely.
Like, being number one at some point this season is not out of the question.
It could happen.
It's not out of the question.
I agree.
Because of who they play, when they play them, and the stages they will be on with the players they have to potentially win a majority of those games.
Kevin Garnett was right. Anything is possible with this team.
BYU having their highest ranking in program history is very much in play.
Preseason.
Sorry. Well, I mean, I'm saying ever. Like, if they could build up to their highest ranking ever.
Oh, getting to one.
Because you start so high and because the schedule is so tough.
Yeah.
Attaining their highest ranking in program history is very much on the table.
Nice.
All of that is what it means for BYU.
I love it because it means – so how do you win in the NCAA tournament? You get a high seed, and then you play teams that are more winnable out of the gate, and then you get into those tougher
games.
They
could get their best seed ever.
Yes. They could get a 1 or 2 seed, which is really the goal for this team. You start preseason number 8, that means people think you're a 2 seed right out of the gates. So prove them right and maybe even wrong to get to a 1 seed. I also love the amount of quality games on the schedule. We knew that in the Big 12, BYU would play a bunch of tough teams. But let's look at the non-conference schedule. BYU's playing 2 teams in the top 5 this season because number 4, UConn, is in Boston. Number 24, Wisconsin, rematch of the second round game in Denver, is in Salt Lake City at Delta Center. Used to be the Delta Center. Now it's just Delta Center, by the way. That's a real thing. Texas Tech and Arizona twice, 10 and 13. At number 19, Kansas. Houston, as mentioned, who's number 2 at home. At home, is that the biggest game in the history of the Merit Center, by the way, if they're both in the top 10? Is it like San Diego State Part 2?
Potentially.
Because Houston was just in the national championship game. And then Iowa State. Oh, by the way, the exhibition is a ranked matchup. 8 versus 25, UNC. That 25 next to UNC doesn't matter. You just see North Carolina. You see that jump man.
You see blue blood.
That's a blue blood. I am stoked. So that's 7 opponents, 9 games in the regular season. It's 8 and 10 with UNC.
And what will these teams be ranked when BYU eventually squares off with them?
Right. Who knows? Houston could very well be the number one team. But it could be number one versus number two, Houston BYU. Who knows?
It could be a top five matchup in the Marriott Center.
If it is, it's the greatest matchup, not game because we need to see the game played out, but greatest matchup going in ever in the Marriott Center.
Wow.
I mean, BYU San Diego State was epic in 2011.
Top 10, number 4 versus number 9.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I anticipate something similar, yeah?
I believe BYU will stay a top 15 team all year. If there's a loss or two and they drop a little, I don't think they drop outside of that.
I don't see BYU dropping out of the top 25.
Yes. My hope is that BYU has 6 or fewer losses in the regular season total.
With that schedule?
Yeah. To get a 1 or 2 seed.
Well, that's how you get at least a 2 seed.
Yes. I mean, if it's 7 or 8, maybe you're a 3 seed. Whatever. But this team is capable of doing some awesome things. So this is cool. Congrats to this roster. So basically, the roster composition gets you the ranking. So congrats to BYU for a great preseason, getting to this point, getting the respect that BYU's never really had in the non-conference. AJ is a huge reason for that, but Rob Wright as well. Retaining Richie, retaining Kaba, getting Xavion Staten, getting Tyler Morales, getting Moo, like all these guys. Let's go. Can't wait. BYU plays a game this week.
Indeed,
at Nebraska, Saturday on Big Ten Plus. We're all going to have to figure out how much money we're willing to spend to watch that one game.
Start to GoFundMe for a group fee to watch BYU at Nebraska.
Fred Hoiberg, matchup of former NBA coaches. That's fun with Kevin.
Yeah, what does it mean? It means BYU is slated to do something historic. That's what it
They're
means.
Already doing historic yes. things.
Amazing.
Before we've even started. If you missed yesterday's episode of Coordinator's Corner, Jay Hill, giddy about BYU-Utah, said he couldn't sleep Sunday night. Kelly Papenga breaking down BYU's comeback win at Arizona. You can find it on demand on the BYU TV app.
Up next, magic happens on the show. Former BYU and NFL wide receiver Austin Colley joins us to discuss what BYU-Utah means to him and how he believes BYU beats Utah on Saturday. Stay with us.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Scott, touchdown!
Fourth down and 18.
Watches, he's got Colley waiting on it.
When you're doing what's right on and off the field, magic happens.
Kick is good! Yes, said it, still on top.
Yes, said it, hey. We're live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. It's Rivalry Week. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan, and joining us now is former BYU All-American and NFL standout wide receiver Austin Colley, who had his mark in this game. Austin, welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. How are you, brother?
Double chain day?
It's a two-chain day, bro.
Let's go.
Got it. You look good. You play good. You sling insurance good.
I love it. We've been asking BYU fans today, frankly, all college football fans, if they want to get involved, what does this week and this game mean to you? So, Austin, in your mind, how would you answer that question of what it means to you?
I mean, you know, I feel like I should bear my testimony right now.
This is the channel
for
that.
What it means to me. For me, and I think all of college football, this is one of the most important rivalry weeks of the season, right? Especially now, given that they're both in the Big 12 Conference, there's actually some skin in the game in terms of, what the implications are of the game, especially this year, given the fact that they're two ranked opponents and they both could very easily be the Big 12 conference champion. So, you know, this week is huge. This week's huge for BYU. It's an important stepping stone to get to the conference championship and hopefully get to the college football playoff.
When you said the magic happens, quote, when you live right on and off the field, magic happens. Was that something you had thought about before? Was that a thing that Bronco had said? What's the origin of that?
I don't know. I just, you know. Just
inspiration?
Kind of came on, just divine inspiration. Just coming off the cuff there. No, I don't know. I am a firm believer in that, though, right? I had to prepare hard for games. Like that was one of my, I guess, ways of compensating for, you know, maybe some of the lack of skill or I knew I had to work harder than the most to make sure that I was at the top of my game. And, you know, I always had a kind of a, I guess I kind of had on my mission, I developed kind of this mantra of having no regrets, right? And I think if you're not prepared for a game, and that moment comes, and you don't seize the moment, there's going to be regrets. And I couldn't stand the idea of maybe not capturing that opportunity. And obviously when, you know, I was brought up and raised in a home that understood that, Heavenly Father is the greatest deal maker, right? So as long as you're doing what he asks, he's going to make sure to take care of you.
Austin,
one way or the other.
Austin Colley is on BYU Sports Nation. We have to ask about it because you've made your mark and you put your stamp on this rivalry with one of the most iconic plays in the BYU-Utah game with 4th and 18. But I do want to approach it from a little bit of a different angle because I'm always intrigued and, frankly, fascinated by the ability of players when odds are so stacked against them to rise up and make a play. So when you are breaking the huddle on 4th and 18, Austin, what the heck's going through your mind? Because if we were looking at ESPN analytics back in 2007, it probably would have said BYU has like a 0.01% chance of winning the game, yet you go out and you believe and you make a play. So what's the mental aspect of being prepared to go and do something like that?
Yeah, Spence, I wish I had a better answer for you, but even when I broke that huddle, I said, this ain't going to work. sure enough, it did. So I was wrong. I would love to tell you, you know, I broke the huddle, say, we still got this. Now, not the case. 4th and 18, no chance. The DBs are going to be playing. You know, Bryce McCain's going to be playing at the sticks. He's not going to bite on a double move. You know, no one would bite on a double move in this circumstance. And he did, to my surprise. And, you know, at that point, it's just catch the ball. Make sure you catch, you know, you catch the ball and stay in bounds and or get out of bounds once you catch the ball. But I just remember thinking to myself as I passed him, wow, he really bit on it. I didn't think that was going to happen.
And that was Max giving you a hand signal, right? It was like four verts except for you, he said.
Yeah, it was four verts. And he gave me a hand signal. Sorry, guys. I got people freaking calling me. gave me four verts, gave me a double move. And I was like, dude, really? Not gonna happen. But I was wrong.
BYU beats the odds. The Cougars, in that moment, I should say, they're trying to beat the odds this week as a 3.5-point underdog in Provo. And we just went through why we feel like it makes sense based on the analytics of what Utah's offense and their offensive line and defensive lines have done, how successful they have been. And BYU has good analytics too. But Austin, what do you make of BYU being a 3.5-point home underdog in this week's game?
Listen. BYU is never going to get the love that they deserve. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that they're a 3.5-point underdog, but I do love it, right? Like, give us a chip on the shoulder. I feel like we play a little bit better that way when we're the underdog. But the fact that, you know, we're ranked higher than the top 25, we're undefeated, We played probably the same level of competition, right? I do think over the past couple of years, right, they take a look at the quarterback position. They say, okay, you know, new quarterback, new system. I think Bear being a true freshman, you know, but I got to be honest, he doesn't act like a true freshman. You know, you look at the turnover margin, you look at his production on the field and just how his presence on the field, his poise and composure. I don't understand it. But you know what, we'll squeeze out every advantage and every bit of motivation, out of that 3.5 and, get the win.
Where do you feel like BYU has advantages this weekend?
I think on the edges. I don't think their secondary is nearly as good as it once was. I got to be honest with you. They got a lot of guys. They got three guys playing both ways. Is that correct?
Yeah, they have several dudes. And they've gone away from that a little bit the last 2 or 3 weeks, but yes.
But, you know, I think this Dampier guy is going to, you know, he does the exact opposite of Bear, right? Bear doesn't try to play out of himself, and he doesn't try to do too much. When you get a quarterback that tries to create stuff out of nothing, which I've seen this Dampier kid do quite a bit, you know, there tends to be mistakes and errant throws. So, you know, I'm hoping we can bring this, you know, bring the pressure, you know, get in his face a little bit. You know, and hopefully the moment is a little bit too much to the point where he's not playing his natural ability and he's trying to do too much. I think their running game is pretty strong. You know, Glaster is healthy. I thought, wasn't he banged up going into last week?
Yes.
Maybe
yes.
Was there a question mark? Okay. So, and by the way, just a reminder, I am a pre and post game analyst.
Starting at 6 Eastern.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I should probably know all this, but, yeah, I think our defense is solid. I don't think they have the skills on the outside. I think they're going to get it done on the running game, whether it's with the QB or whether it's with their running back. If we can stop the run, which I think we will be able to, I think we'll be A-okay, right? I think we have the better receivers. I think we have the better offense.
Austin, BYU has had their struggles at times in containing an athletic quarterback.
Yes.
Going back to the Colorado game and, frankly, even times with Noah Fifita. So what do they need to do differently to, as you were saying just a moment ago, slow down Devin Dampier and contain him?
I don't know. Obviously, you're going to put a spy out there, right? Somebody who's athletic and
Jack.
But is Jack back?
He should be.
I'd be shocked
if he did not play.
Amen.
Okay, get Jack back there, right? Spying him, making sure he does. You know, that's his sole responsibility all game is you just follow that kid. Because honestly, I think that's the only way they beat us. If that kid gets on the loose, man, and he puts up, you know, 80 plus yards in rushing, I think that's where we're going to get absolutely killed. But again, I think we have enough athletes on the defensive side of the ball where we can put Jack or whoever on him, spy him, and make sure to contain him and keep his ass in the pocket, right? Like we got to go wide nine, right? Wide nine technique. Make sure we keep him in the pocket and force him to throw the ball because I don't think he's a great passer.
Yeah, it feels like that is the key. Force Dampier to beat BYU with his arm if you can contain him in the pocket. Great stuff, Austin. We appreciate your insight into the rivalry as always and recounting how much you believed before 4th and 18.
I was such a believer, bro. Unwavering faith.
Oh, love it. Always, I love that you're real, man. We look forward to more of that on Saturday on the pre and post game show. Thanks, Austin.
Thanks, Austin.
All right. Talk to you.
Austin is the best. After further review, back tonight. Dave, David, Blaine, right, break down thanks. The best plays from BYU's double overtime win in Arizona tonight at 7 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way, more Big 12 awards for BYU athletes after big-time performances in football specifically at Arizona. Details on that in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I'm Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's get to today's headlines. Sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 15 BYU began prep for Saturday's game against number 23 Utah yesterday. BYU head coach Kalani Sitake shared his thoughts on the BYU-Utah rivalry.
There's a lot of connections between BYU and Utah, and so that'll be another fun part of it. But that's no different than what you see in a household here in the state. And there'll be people cheering for their team, and that's what makes the rivalry so much fun. And it makes it, like I said before, I've said this last year, that it makes a lot of sense. We're in the Big 12 together. It just makes sense that we should be in the same conference, and we should do this every year.
You're currently a 3.5-point home underdog, first time being a dog this year. Pre-game coverage for Saturday's game begins at 6 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU running back L.J. Martin named Big 12 co-offensive player of the week for his individual performance in a 33-27 double overtime win at Arizona. Martin rushed for a career-best 162 yards on 25 carries, including a 28-yard touchdown run to start the scoring. On the season, L.J. has rushed for 652 yards and 4 TDs. He's currently 6th in the country, averaging 108.7 yards per game.
Not bad. BYU quarterback Bear Bachmeier named Big 12 Freshman of the Week for the fourth time overall, third straight week after the win against Arizona. He passed for 172 yards and a touchdown, added 22 carries for 93 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Feels like he's on the Delanie Gibb Freshman of the Year award watch list, right?
He is winning the Delanie Gibb Freshman of the Week every week.
Former BYU running back Tyler Algier had 10 carries for 32 yards and a punishing touchdown run against the Buffalo Bills in a Falcons 24-14 win last night. On the season, Algier has rushed for 187 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Women's volleyball moved up to number 19 in this week's AVCA poll following the 4-set win over Houston on Saturday. Up next, Cougars play number 7 Arizona State on Thursday at the Smith Fieldhouse. That's a big one.
BYU freshman golf star Gihei Akina received a sponsor exemption on Monday to compete in the Bank of Utah Championship at beautiful Black Desert Resort on October 23rd through the 26th. Akina competed in the tournament last October, missing the cut by one stroke after carding a 2-under 69 in the first and second rounds.
Sticking with men's golf, the 12th-ranked Cougars finished round one of the Bryson Invitational yesterday in Daniel Island, South Carolina, tied for 14th. BYU teed off in round two earlier this morning.
And BYU women's golf, finishing day one of the Route 66 Invitational in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, tied for 11th place through two rounds. Naji Arumkul is leading the way for the Cougars, sitting at 2 over par. BYU teed off in the final round earlier this morning. After the break, I speak with BYU offensive lineman Kyle Safarchuk on recovering the fumble to save the game, BYU at Arizona. What's it like to be on the bottom of that pile? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B. Recently, I had an opportunity to speak with BYU offensive lineman Kyle Safarchuk, who, if you remember, saved the game for BYU by recovering Bear Bachmeier's fumble when BYU was attempting to tie the game late in Tucson. We start there in the conversation and also discuss a little bit about his journey through faith and football at BYU. This is Kyle Safarchuk on BYU Sports Nation. Kyle, I'd like to start with a very specific play where, frankly, you save the game and you come up with the football at the bottom of the pile against Arizona. Now, because very few experienced what you did, what is that scrum like when you are in a scramble for said football?
It's just you can't really see anything, but you can feel like you can feel a lot of pressure on top of you. And, I had the ball, so I knew. I was like, oh, ain't no one else going to take this ball from me, because I knew it was the situation we were in. But, yeah, it's kind of just, 20 bodies are on top of you? So 21 bodies. So just a lot of pressure down there. But other than that, it's all good.
I don't envy that position that you are in, Kyle, but I know that every BYU football fan is grateful that you went so adamantly for that football and secured it. Did you have it, just out of curiosity, did you have it initially, or did you have to, was it kind of in a 50-50 situation, you had to fight for that thing?
Well, I knew when, like, when I saw the ball go on the ground, like, I knew I was going to jump for it, and I think I might have, as I was going for the ball, I think I might have hit someone off, but I thought I had a pretty good jump on the ball. But yeah, I couldn't, it's just in the moment, spur, just, I can't remember nothing. All I could remember is jumping for the ball and obtaining it.
How would you explain that game overall, emotionally, playing in it, and just all of the adversity that BYU and the offensive line had to go through?
It was pretty emotional because the rain delay, the fumble, overtime, double overtime. It was just a lot of emotions, and seeing the frustrations on the sideline, and the how we got together as a team and just knew, like, if we did our thing, we'll get the win. And I feel like that it was a big moment for me because I was like, this is fun. This is football. Like, this is a fun team to be around. And the case how we all got together and got the double in the game, I definitely got a little teary eyed because I was like, that was fun and intense and really stressful.
I think that's an accurate assessment. Really stressful. And I know that when you're in the moment, sometimes it's almost beneficial that you're not a fan just watching, because you do have some control in it. But what did you feel like you and the offensive line did have control over in that game with Arizona?
We knew we could control our own effort. And I knew, like, I was telling myself and the guys, like, we're going to have to be carted home. That's how much effort we're going to give. Like, we better not be able to walk after this game. Because it made me real frustrated seeing what was happening and knowing that we can control the game by what we do up front.
BYU ran for 258 yards as a team. What was working well against Arizona's defensive front?
Just following our offensive line's coach Woods' rules he gave us, and just following what he coached us to do. That's what worked for us, and taking coaching on the sideline as well.
I know Kalani jokingly said, I'd like to not make it that stressful and close moving forward, but this is football and at the Power Four level. So what things do you feel like you need to change to get better and be ready for a huge emotional rivalry game against Utah?
Yeah, I would say give more effort at practice, more effort in meetings and our film study and the way we eat, and just focus on every little detail we can this week, and just try to get better than we were last week. Either that's being in the training room more, getting more recovery in, and sleeping more. And then just whenever we're on the practice field, just focus on the little things and details for this week.
What kind of a backdrop do you have in this BYU-Utah rivalry game, personally speaking?
Nothing. I don't know much. I played Utah when I was at SU, but that's the only thing I have. But
what are you seeing from your teammates as they gear up early in the week for this game?
I feel like everyone's still focused like how we were last week, which is, it's good to see. Everyone's, you know, not getting too high, not getting too low. Everyone's keeping it like business, and everyone's really focused on whatever it is. Today we have practice and meetings, and everyone's going to give it, and lifting, everyone's going to give it their all in every single thing, and take it day by day and just get better.
Kyle Safarchuk is on BYU Sports Nation, BYU offensive lineman. In review of Utah football, what is an obvious observation about their team and what they might try and do defensively to disrupt what you're trying to do on offense?
They play real fast. They're really disciplined. So it's going to be a good challenge for us, because whatever job they have, they're going to give all their effort, and they're not going to MA. They're going to be there wherever they're supposed to be at the fields. And, you know, we're really going to have to be dialed in.
Mm. Let's finish with a couple of quick hitters that are more centered on your path to BYU, because it's always an interesting path for players and selecting schools they go to. And you played at a previous school at Southern Utah. So why was BYU the right fit for you at this point of your football career?
BYU was the right fit for me because when I took my visit, and I talked to Kalani before I left, and I was like, this is someone who I want to play for. He just told me straight up what the team was about, and I just knew that's what I wanted to be a part of, and shut down my recruiting that day and chose to commit here. And it's been a great decision for me, and I've been getting better spiritually, physically, and mentally, and it's been awesome.
Kyle, how has that decision changed your life and impacted you in those three categories you just brought up, spiritually, mentally, physically?
It's been great. I can tell, I can see the differences daily. And my family, when they talk to me, they tell me like they could tell a difference as well. And I find myself smiling a lot more and having a lot more fun and enjoying the little things while I'm here. Yeah.
Kyle, congratulations on making one of the most impactful plays for BYU football all season and recovering that fumble and helping BYU get to 6-0. And congratulations on all that you've accomplished and getting to this point in your career. We wish you the best of luck against Utah. We're going to give you some BYU Sports Nation karma to go and ball out. And we can't wait to watch Saturday night, man. Thanks so much for the
All
time.
right. Thank you.
Good stuff with Kyle. BYU football's Kalani Sitake returns tonight as the head coach and kicker Will Farron joined Greg Rebell in Studio C to preview Saturday's game against that team up north. Tonight, 8:30 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Oh, you've waited long enough. After the break, what are BYU's top five plays all time against Utah? Does Will Farron's game-winning field goal from last season make the cut? Top Five Tuesday breaks it down next on BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. He is Jerem Jordan. I am Spencer Linton. It is time for Top 5 Tuesday, featuring the top five BYU football plays all time against the University of Utah.
Let's go back to the year 2000. Lavelle's last game, Brandon Doman to Jonathan Pittman, 4th and 13. The play before this, if they had review, probably would have been a fumble from Luke Staley. They didn't have the technology yet. Deep to Pittman. They ran that same play. The next play got way down the field with under a minute to go as Doman, the native of nearby Skyline High School in the shadow of the U there, just miles away, deep to Pittman. That's number five.
Set up the game-winning touchdown. Number four. Rewind to 2009 in Provo. Hall to George. Heard of it? Max Hall to Andrew George on 2nd and 10 from 25 yards out. George slipping between two Utah tacklers and walks it off with the game-winning touchdown. BYU wins 26-23 in overtime. Jeremy, is that your shot with your camera, by the way?
No, this is all the mountain. It's crappy.
Is that why it's SD?
I did have a handheld down in the pile, though. There. It was awesome.
You're in there somewhere.
Last ranked matchup, by the way, until now, that game. Number three, 4th and 18, 2007. Earlier in the show, Austin Colley told us, walking out of the huddle, he thought, this isn't going to work. Double move on Bryce McCain. He gets deep. Colley's open. James Bates on the call, and Harvey Unga punched it in later.
Number Amazing. Two, Doman to Staley.
I love me a boundary option.
Down the sideline he goes. People that were there say it's the loudest they've ever heard Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
I was there. It's the loudest I've heard Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
BYU preserving their undefeated record and top 10 ranking. BYU wins 24-21. Incredible.
And number one, you know what it is, 2006. Becta Harlene, shuffling, shuffling, shuffling. Now the heat comes. BYU trailed 31-27, 3 seconds left from the Utah 11. John Beck rolls to his right, finds his guy!
Play took forever.
Touchdown, the answered prayer. BYU wins 33-31. Will Farron's kick did not make it. It was awesome, but it wasn't better than those five.
Not top five. That's how good this list is.
Don't get me wrong. It is awesome. Top 10 probably, right?
We love to revel in those moments.
But we
relish victory.
We have to throw you a changeup sometimes. It can't be all fastballs.
Our question of the day, what does the BYU-Utah rivalry mean to all of you? Our Elite Voice of the Day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, and is submitted from @TwiggyOrStoneOnX, says lots of great memories, some good, some bad. Loved when it was at the end of the season, no matter the records. They almost always put on a great show.
Can't wait.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Bear Bachmeyer won the Delaney Gibb Big 12 Rookie of the Week again. Third week in a row, fourth time this season.
It's turning into that. Our thanks to today's guests, Austin Colley and Kyle Safarchuk.
Sorry, Dennis.
Shout out to Luke Staley. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.